Good morning and welcome to Making a Change for Good. Good morning, Sherry.
Good morning, Ashwini.
Our assignment from yesterday. Self-hate holds in place the suffering over an issue by making it you wrong. What self-hating voices do you hear around this issue? Write down the self-hating messages. Note, never record self-hate messages. Example, there is something wrong with a person who would choose unhealthy over healthy. And the note, self-hate often speaks in you voices addressing us as you. RL, what you're seeing. Here's our first caller. You are now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hello, this is Ladima.
Hello, Ladima. What are you
Hi,
seeing?
Hi, Sherry. Oh, my goodness. this topic has been an explosion of self-hate, like no other.
Ooh.
Yeah. From the get-go, from the beginning. At first, I was, when we were first started thinking about it, I was like, oh, I'm excited. We're going to look at food. Maybe I'll lose some weight. And then I couldn't hardly even get myself to do the first assignment. It just, wow, I couldn't, and I could see it, but oh wow, it was so I was so identified and so okay. Once I got past that and started saying, okay, just need to start somewhere. Let's just listen to the record. Let's make the recording. Listen to the recording. Let's just keep going baby steps. You know,
boy, Ladima, that's the voice we're looking for, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, this whole thing is so important. You know, everything in me wants to say, oh, that's good to see, isn't it? And I can just see people cringing, you know? No, Sherry, it's not good to see. It's a fast trip to hell. It is good to see, isn't it? And especially when that calm, centered voice who really cares about the human being comes in and says, okay, baby steps. Let's do this. Let's do this. It's okay. We can see.
Yeah.
We start to see our way through it, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And then just doing the exercise where, you know, so the first day of, like, writing down the thoughts was just, like, again, explosion on paper of just all kinds of self-hating voices and sub-personalities and just all over the place. And so, and then it's like, I couldn't look at it for a couple of days, whatever, came back and did another exercise and started looking at, okay, what are the sub-personalities or what are the voices, and just started writing down. And again, and the thing, one of the things that I saw that is, I think I've seen before, but it's so, like, in everything. It seems to be in everything. Comes up again and again, and I'm seeing it a lot in this, and that is the underlying feeling of preparing food is women's work, and women's work sucks. It's unimportant. And if you do women's work, you're weak. You're stupid, you're all this horrible, horrible stuff. Mm-hmm. And it's just so ingrained. I mean, I'm shaking as I'm talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it in this. I see it in tasks that if I'm asked to do at work, if it feels at all like it might be women's work, I resist it. There's so much resistance around it, and I'm just really astounded and, you know.
Yeah. So, first of all, good on that refrain, right? You don't resist it. There is resistance to it, right? And what's so interesting, I chuckled a second ago because I said the same exact thing to my father when I was 15. You know, I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. Everything men do is exciting and interesting and fun, and everything women do is stupid and boring. And, yeah, and so I'm right there. However, what what we get to see in this is I project, and other people can see what, you know, see what they see, and we can have a discussion about it. But what that does is frame nurturing and care as stupid and boring.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Which works really well for self-hate, doesn't it?
Oh, my gosh. What a huge trap.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. 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 So why would you? Why?
Exactly.
Why would you want to cook for her? You don't want to be stupid, right? And then,
exactly.
Of course, what that does is positions the voices to say, so just eat crap, okay? Just eat stuff and then gain weight, and then the voices of self-hate can really go to work, right? Because you're overweight and you shouldn't be, and what does this mean, and blah, 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 blah. So it just opens up this floodgate of possibility for self-hate and torture.
Yeah, well, and the voices that say you're fat and all that, those are so many permutations away.
Yes.
Layers and layers and layers,
yes,
of self-hate away from the heart of the issue.
That's right.
That it's just that you can't even see it by then. You can't even see the heart of the issue.
Oh, no, no,
all
no,
you
no.
can see is that there's self-hate going on, you
That's
know, if
right.
you're paying attention.
Well, and that it's true.
Yeah.
Right? There is something wrong with me. I'm overweight.
Oh.
There's all the evidence, you know, the fingers everywhere. The fingers of society are pointing.
Oh, yeah.
Here's the evidence that you are the wrong person. There's something wrong with you, or you wouldn't be that way. So,
right.
Yes, the whole thing is such a perfect scam to get us so far away from the fact that we have been taught not to care about the human being. That's what we are meant never to see.
Right, right. And even the systems or the institutions and programs that are supposed to educate us and help us see and make things better get plugged right into that and just,
exactly,
you know.
So. It's all a content. You're either going to be the right person or the wrong person, and all of it leads self-hate. All of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you're seeing it.
Yeah.
Yeah?
I want to have
more enthusiasm, okay?
Yes, yeah. I am, and I'm, you know, and I'm like, and I am happy to know I have tools to help me get beyond it.
Yes, yes, to take care of her.
To take care of the human being
that got left behind when we went down that path of there's a right way to be and a wrong way to be, and now I'm looking outward and I'm listening to voices in my head, and self-hate has an open door to come in and control my life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. It's like, mm-hmm, I can't unsee it now.
Exactly. And you're going to have this recording and then all the recordings you make about this and listen to with regularity so that you are guaranteed not to unsee it. Because, of course, that conditioning system is going to go into high gear to try to close this over. Nope.
Oh, yeah, right. I mean, mm-hmm, even as you were saying, take care of the one, there was this, like, little feeling inside of, like,
uh-huh,
like this. Ah, like the self-hate,
yes,
the old,
yes,
system just like going, take care of,
yeah,
yuck. It's the yuck response. It's like, wow.
Yes.
And I,
yeah,
whew.
Yes, yeah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, and so there's nothing wrong with you retreat going on at the monastery right now, which I would at this juncture make a recommendation that everybody who hasn't done it or hasn't done it recently, please sign up. I think there's only one more this year, because that is exactly the point of that retreat. That's
well,
it. And so if we take it into modern times, you know, you picture you walk into the hospital, into the nursery, And there, and you look down and there's this little, in this case, little baby girl lying there in her little thing in the nursery, newborn, and the response is, yuck. Yeah, that would just never happen. But when it happens
right
inside of us, it seems somehow right.
Yeah, well, you were so not aware of it. It's just a feel. It's
yeah
just happening.
Yep.
Oh, my gosh.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Thank you.
Onward and upward. You are so
yep
welcome. All right. Take good
okay
care.
You
okay
too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks, Ladima. Sherry, two things jumped out at me in that conversation. One is the number of layers that we have to go through to really get to the root of
yes
what is driving the whole, one of the roots, because there are usually many, the root
yes
of what's driving that entire edifice of the suffering, right? Because we're
yes
only always aware of the self-hate in it. And this process that we're doing of whittling down and paying attention and closer attention to what is it? What is it that's really going on for me? And writing
mm-hmm
all those voices down is such important training, because
yes
because A, that's the only way to see it and transcend it and be completely aware of it. But it is layers, and at different stages of our practice, we are at different places to see. And so,
yes,
you know, what's available to us to work with is what's there now. And then
mm-hmm
we move to the next place and to the next place.
Mm-hmm.
But to know that there's always a root and that we're
mm-hmm
in search of that root. And once we see the root, the whole, the possibility of total freedom is available.
Yes, yes, yes. Which makes me, Ashwini, want to do another advertisement. And that is for the retreat that's coming up in Pennsylvania, the first of next
mm-hmm
month, right? Where
yeah
we put these pieces together.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly
mm-hmm
what Ladima is, was bringing to us is it will be put together in that retreat in ways that really enable us to take giant leaps forward. So,
yeah,
word
and
to
the
wise
second thing that yes, and the second thing that occurred to me was that the conditioning is what we're seeking freedom from.
Yes.
Right? So a belief such as I am rebelling against the notion that only women cook.
Mm-hmm.
A belief such as that is only true in the realm of conditioning.
Yes.
And so
mm-hmm
if we get lost in the content, we forget that in anything we're looking at, the only thing we're ever trying to do is to not be trapped by the conditioning.
Yeah.
So that
get
we can look
center
at the truth. Yes, we can look at the truth. Well, sure, I want to nurture my body and take care of the human being. That's a life attribute, not a gender
mm
attribute.
Wow. Yeah. That's very good. That's very helpful. Yeah. All right.
And I think that's what the conditioning is preventing us from. I'll stay in the realm of the self-hate and the separation and the anger and all of the frustration, which is actually against the conditioning, not against the truth of the life attribute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. But it does. We don't get to see it that clearly, right?
Yeah,
we don't get to see that all of the anger and frustration and sadness and all of those things that we feel ought to be directed at egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate, not at the
That's
human
right
being.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourselves?
Hello, Sherry Ann Ashwini. It's Jeff in North Carolina.
Hello, Jeff. What are you seeing?
Hey. Yeah, well, it's a really interesting question. I was just looking at it. Because to me, there's not a lot of self-hate that's clearly in evidence. Sometimes, you know, I see some directed toward others, and sometimes some, you know, toward this human being, but not a lot. It's interesting. The basic deal with food is that, 20 years ago, I was in the midst of really under eating and then seemingly binge eating in response to the under eating. And then that has been really good for a long time, in terms of just, and there's no desire really to undereat or overeat, and there's no desire to eat unhealthily. And in fact, I don't want it. I don't want any unhealthy food. So the thing that I've been looking at is just the possibility of rigidity around how I do food. Basically I cook one day a week and cook all my lunches and dinners on one day, and then I have them for the whole week. And that is a time-saving measure. I'm very aware that the person who's concerned about not having enough time has been a major player in every single content we've looked at, thus far this year. So there's, you know, there's some stories there about, you know, am I being too rigid but it works for me and all of that kind of thing, which doesn't really, but in terms of the self-hate, I don't know. I'm not aware of a lot of it going on or creating much suffering.
So what you're wondering, I project, is if you didn't follow the rules so rigidly, would you discover all of the egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate stuff that we don't encounter as long as we're following the rules rigidly?
Yes. One way to express what I've been wondering is, it seems like a combination to me of kind of centered decisions about health, caring about health and so on, and then, you know, this kind of control overlay that has gotten involved as well. I think that's what I suspect is going on, is that they're both. So, yes, I want to eat healthily, and I don't really go outside of those bounds. Yes, I think it would be enforced, in quotes, by self-hate as well, if I had some desire to do that.
And so I just have a curiosity question. When you cook for yourself on one day and that lasts you all week, does that include fresh fruits and vegetables and things like that in your diet, or are you required just to eat whatever was prepared on that day?
Great question. So I prepare my breakfasts fresh every morning and eat fresh fruit and plenty of it every morning. And then on lunches and dinners, so I prepare the same, basically the same food for seven lunches in a row and the same food for seven dinners in a row. And I will say I've been doing this kind of thing for well over a decade, so it's quite old as well. I'm also aware that very quickly, you know, when we're looking at dualities and all that sort of thing, very quickly, any idea of changing it, there is right away what comes up is, I don't want to do anything that takes more time, and it'll take more time, and that door gets closed pretty quickly.
Yeah. Well, there's your place to look, isn't it? I mean, that what you've identified is kind of a core piece of ego control that needs to be addressed. This having time, we were talking with Ladima about weight, right? So time would be your equivalent right? Uh-huh. Be controlled by a voice that is in charge of your time. Be a really important place to find some freedom.
Do you have any suggestions about, you know, what
yep.
what way to go?
Yep.
Or yeah.
Yep, I do. Recording and listening.
Hmm.
Yep, recording and listening. Because a two-handed recording and listening, because there is somebody who is in a straitjacket over time, and you want to get him talking about what that's like and the price he pays for that, what it's like to live in the straitjacket of somebody watching him about how much time he spends on everything all the time.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Okay?
All right. Great.
All right.
Great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Jeff.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye.
Thanks, Ashwini. Bye.
Thanks, Jeff. The practice suggestion I heard in that, right, Jerry, is that you always want to pay attention to who wants to be in control.
Yes, yes. Beautifully stated. Yes, that's it. Yep. When we're looking for the voices of personalities, of ego, right, who wants to be in control? Yep.
Mm-hmm. Because that is really what conditioning ultimate goal is control.
Yes. Of us.
It being in control.
Not
meaning.
Of life.
That's right.
Not of
yes.
life, right?
Yes.
Just of us.
Yeah.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. And so then when we start to look at it that way, we actually see the content area around which we're most controlled. So if we're looking at food, but it's time around food preparation, it's interesting because it's the conditioning is always deflecting our attention to the place where the problem isn't.
Yes, 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 which is what Ledema was looking at, right? How
yes.
how mm-hmm. far away, how many permutations there are, right? So that what mm-hmm. I'm constantly looking at doesn't have anything to do with what the real issue is.
Yes, and that is the mechanism of control that we
mm-hmm.
miss.
Mm-hmm.
Or one mechanism
yeah.
of control we miss.
Yeah, so something can be hidden in plain sight. I can be talking about it all the time and have
mm-hmm.
no idea that that's what the issue is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Woo!
All right, here's our next caller. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, excuse me. Hi, this is Christine in Oregon.
Hello, Christine.
Hi.
What are you seeing?
Wow, huh?
wow, huh? Big subject here.
yes,
yeah.
And I can go from each person sharing and relate and look and, oh my gosh, yes.
See my life.
And so it's, pardon?
And see my life, right?
Yes.
I can see,
yep.
see my life and what everybody is saying. Yeah.
Yes.
Argues for Sangha.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah. And so I, just to simplify it, I thought I would look at overeating and why do I do that? And I was looking at, because it does lead to gained weight, and gaining weight, you know, and then there's all this stuff about around that, of course, you know, it's not okay to gain weight, and also doesn't feel right to gain weight
mm-hmm.
for me,
mm-hmm.
and so
mm-hmm.
you know stuff about that. But why would I? And so I recently overate, and I was and I you know it's all healthy stuff. I stopped buying sugar, although I do buy honey and maple syrup sometimes. But so it's all mostly healthy stuff, but. So why did I recently overeat? And oh yeah, and so I came to this. I think it had to do with the hungry ghost. There was some. Well, there was one thing was, well, I can't waste. I can't waste food. I just don't like wasting food.
Yes, it's better to wear it than waste it.
I mean, I'm sort of careful so I don't have to eat too much and I don't waste it, you know. But but also I was looking at the hungry ghost and why it was like I continued to eat because I was waiting to be satisfied. Like, where's the satisfaction? And then I just want to say really quick that when I'm at the monastery, I never overeat. I never want a piece of chocolate. I don't need dessert. Like, what is, there's just a lot of stuff around food. Oh my gosh. I mean, in society, I was thinking, I mean, what is dessert anyway? Why would we eat and then eat some more? You know? So anyway, so I don't do that at the monastery. And then why would I do it at my house? And it was pretty clear that I'm trying to be satisfied. I'm trying to feel love.
Yeah.
I'm trying to feel satisfied with loving myself, with life, something.
Yes.
And Yeah, so I keep going.
You're putting your finger right on it, aren't you? Aren't you?
I guess so.
You are. Because that's such a, I don't know if it's the bottom line, but it's such a bottom line. What is ego? Ego is dissatisfaction. Okay? What is life? Life is satisfaction. When we're present, we are satisfied, not just with food, but we're satisfied with everything. When we're identified with ego, we're unsatisfied. So what a perfect deal. I'm at the monastery. I'm more present than I am in the rest of life, right? And I'm satisfied. I'm here. I'm enjoying the human being. I go home. I get identified with ego, which is dissatisfaction. Then ego starts coming up with ways for me to be satisfied other than being centered. And what do I come up with? Food.
I'm still not satisfied, right.
And still
don't,
not don't satisfied,
satisfy
but feel bad.
Those distractions.
That, right? Feel bad because the voices can then come in and say, what are you doing? Why are you overeating? What's the matter with you? And for a lot of people, there's the element of, and you're eating stuff that's bad for you, and you're gaining weight, and so it's just such a. It's good to see those two aspects, right? What it's like to be satisfied in the present, because the present is satisfaction, and what it's like to be identified with ego and ego's dissatisfaction.
Yeah, and do you think that it was kind of odd because I had these, so I'm going on a backpacking trip, and I had I don't usually buy these. Well, I never bought these things. They're like these crunchy chocolate cookie-like things, and I was going to bring them on my backpacking trip. But when I was dissatisfied, I thought, gosh, I just need to eat these things. And so, like, I...
That's right.
And so, like, I devoured them. But do you think that conditioning has it was like pulling the strings of, well, now I'm satisfied. Because after that, I was done. Like, okay, now I'm done.
Well,
I ate all those things.
Here's where I want you to look. Because for a lot of people, depending on what that was that you just ingested, the voice would say, oh, my God, I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you did that. I can't believe you sat there and ate that whole thing.
I would
thing,
continue
right?
to be beat up.
Right. But the thing that I, since you're looking at this subtle level, that I'd ask you to look at is that feeling of, okay, the fact that ego was able to control you and get you to do what it wanted, and it's that attention to ego that produces the temporary feeling of satisfaction.
Yeah, it was ego was satisfied. Oh, she did that, and now
that's
okay.
Right.
I got her to do what I wanted her to do.
That's right. Just to look
rather
it's a super subtle point.
Okay.
But just to look at, and of course, depending on what's in those things, the body can also go into kind of a stupor. That's what sugar does, right? It puts people in a temporary stupor. And so there's, everything goes to the stomach, there's nothing in the brain, so there's that little time that can be interpreted as satisfaction before the, oh my God, I can't believe you did that, starts in.
Yeah, and how ego attaches it to those crispy things, like, oh, those were really good, oh, now.
You should do that again.
It
You should keep those in the house.
Yeah, that's what I want now. Yeah. Yeah. It just puts the attention on that. Instead of what you said, the place where you said, for me to look.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Oh, we're okay. Being subtle, aren't we? It's so good. All right. Thank you, Christine.
Thank you very much. Go happy.
Go happy.
Thanks, Christine. That is subtle, Sherry. When we can see how two things that are not related are put together in order to maintain the control. Yeah, it is. And that love, that point you made about ego satisfaction, that moment of feeling satisfied is really that subtle of either we're here in life where conditioning is absent, or we've just done what conditioning drove us to do, and therefore it's not driving us anymore.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So I think in the you can answer this better than most people. You or Jen, since this is in the battering cycle, the self hate maintaining cycle. That's it, right? It feels good and feels bad. So the comparison for me is when I smoke cigarettes, it feels good and it feels bad at the same time. Yes. That's the ultimate self hating. It feels good, and I shouldn't be doing this.
Right, and the feeling good is because there is a temporary absence of the conditioning, the stress of the voices.
That's really
all it is. That's it, because that's an important step. If the voices were relentless, then we would exit the cycle. But there is a moment of relief. Because what it has convinced us to do is, if we listen to it, then we get the temporary relief, and the temporary relief is sufficient to keep us going in the cycle.
Yeah, and the point that you're making is the relief is from the voices. So the voices say, eat chocolate, eat chocolate, eat chocolate, eat chocolate, eat chocolate, eat chocolate. And finally I eat chocolate, and I'm not hearing that voice for a moment. And that's
right.
The relief I feel. It has nothing to do with the chocolate.
Exactly. But as Christine pointed out, it gets associated. So I'll continue to be trained to eat the chocolate and not look at the voices that are driving me to that eating the chocolate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
All right.
Thank you.
Assignment for today. There is always an implied message underlying what self-hate says. Like the raised eyebrow that is loaded with meaning, every self-hating voice is loaded with implications. Assignment. What message about who or how you are is being implied by the self-hate messages? For example, the underlying message in there's something wrong with a person who would choose unhealthy over healthy is, you're inherently flawed. RL, what you see.
Mm. All right. All right. Well, here we go. Another day of food.
Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Ashwini. Thanks, everybody.
Go happy.
Go happy.